Welcome to Careers in Your Ears, a podcast for PhD students and research staff at King's College London. I'm Vicky Tipton, one of the careers consultants working with researchers. Today we're picking up on a conversation that we started in last week's episode of the podcast, and it was a conversation about race and identity in research careers, which we recorded in June 2021. Alexandria Mitchell is a PhD student at King's College London, and she was able to chair this discussion that we hosted with Mary Okashola, who's a PhD student at King's, and Dr. Bernardine Idowu, who is at KCL as a lecturer and also at the University of West London. In this episode, you're going to hear a number of things about mentoring, quite a bit about mentoring and persistence, how our academics deal with setbacks. And we're going to pick up with the speakers discussing how the Black Lives Matter movement has affected EDI spaces in academia and science. We hope you enjoy listening.
So do you think that overall, I mean, the anniversary of George Floyd's murder was yesterday. And I think that in the past year, there has been an attempt at creating more inclusive space, creating more equal spaces. But how do you think that just over the past year with regards to the Black Lives Matter movement, how do you think that this movement has influenced the racial equality and diversity that we're seeing in academia and also in science? Mary?
So I'll definitely say I was quite surprised, pleasantly surprised, to see the email from King's around the time when George Floyd was murdered. So it was like, oh, kind of feeling. And then I think the next lab meeting that I had after that, we even had a few minutes of discussion about it. And that was, again, quite surprising for me as well. But it was good. I think it's a good step forward. As long as it's not like a box ticking exercise, as long as it's like a genuine, you know, discussions and genuine trying to like have these conversations where people can feel more involved in what's affecting another person around them. Because I think I do remember around Brexit, there was a lot of conversations surrounding the Brexits and the votes for the referendum. I remember because we do have a lot of Europeans in research in the labs and stuff. So of course a lot of them are going to be directly affected by the results of the referendum. And normally politics is a topic that's quite stirred away from in like professional settings. And it's quite awkward and people don't really want to discuss it. But around the time, I remember it was full-blown conversations for weeks and weeks and weeks on Brexit. Whereas for George Floyd's situation, I'll definitely say, you know, receiving those emails is a good step forward, having these conversations, having these types of networks set up where, you know, people can continue conversations. It's definitely a good step forward. But I do hope that it's not... It would have been nice for it to continue on, like in the lab, for example, for us to continue having discussions about it like we were about Brexit, but that wasn't the case. I think some people, it's still a bit of an awkward, touchy subject, or, you know, I don't really know. But yeah, I definitely think it's a step in the right direction if it continues.
Bernardine?
Universities are having these conversations, which is very, very important. My mentor also at King's is Professor Funmi Olorunsekin, and she's, as you know, is the Vice President, Vice Principal International. And I have seen things that are happening. My other mentor was the former principal, Sir Ed Byrne. And, you know, I could have frank conversations with him. He'd listen to me, you know, and things would be in place. In fact, it was because of him I got that part-time position in diversity and inclusion team under not the current director but previous ones, and Sandra and someone else, and we got things done. So I had that relationship with the principal then, as I said, with the George Floyd incident, oh so sad, but people like Professor Fumi was just doing amazing things. And if you were to look at the history of things she's done so far, the positions that have been made, the opportunities, there's been a lot of things happening. Similarly, at University of West London, again, positions, listening. In fact, senior leaders, they know me very well. They know me as a person that's there for change, not to cause any issues, because I don't do that. I want just people to hear what I've got to say and work with me to do what we can do. And they are. And I think it's just so amazing. And I'm sure, and I've seen loads of emails of various universities organizing new positions, asking for BME people to apply. So things are changing for the better. And I think that's really, really good. Yes, it may be slow in coming, but I have to remember all those young people that are applying to come to university and then wanted to see certain people in certain positions and how it will inspire them. So, yeah, I think there are some changes. And I hope, as Mary said, it's not a tick box. It continues and everyone will feel comfortable. Every person of BME person will feel comfortable in their roles and be encouraged to be promoted where possible.
I definitely am in agreement with everything that you both have said. So with regards to how things are moving forward, what do you do when you encounter a setback in your, Mary, in your life as a PhD student, or now that you're finishing up, Bernadine, in your capacity as professor? What do you do when you encounter a setback, and how do you navigate difficulties in academia? Mary, you can go first.
I think for me, doing a PhD, it's setback after setback. So you kind of have to build up, you know, the wall and just be resilient to it. In the beginning, I was very lucky. A lot of my experiments just worked. And then in the second year, I was very quickly humbled where absolutely nothing worked. So it was just, I knew it was coming because I was warned by other PhD students that said, look, this is a part of it. And I remember thinking, well, touch wood, I haven't experienced it yet. And then it came. So, yeah, I think it's just knowing that setbacks are just a part of any form of progress. You're going to have to experience a certain level of setback and just keep going. That's the only way I've done it, really.
Well, I'm that difficult, tough year that you're talking about, that's me right now. And I was like last year, you know, the pandemic hit and I was like, you know, it's kind of bad, but like it's slowly moving forward. And then I'm like, wait, nothing is working. Why? Things that you did your first year, you're like, I can do this in my sleep. Yeah. I don't understand. Like the cells aren't behaving, experiments aren't behaving. I'm like, is this PhD worth it? Do I need to consider another, what can I do with a half PhD? Can I just go and do research? Like, do I need this degree? It's just three letters. I don't know. But yes, it's continuing to persevere and just be like, you know what? It's fine. It's not okay, but it's going to be okay.
Yeah, so. I think it's part of the PhD. It's a part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Bernadine?
Wow, perseverance is my middle name. When I was working in a diversity and inclusion, I was tasked to do several projects. Some of them you'll see on the website now. So like the Open Doors project, and the conference started off at King's. And it was nice that I was given that as a project to do, because I was that person that was doing postdoc after postdoc after postdoc. And then I saw some of my friends that were so brilliant, female friends, so brilliant in science, leaving. And I thought, I'm not going to be that person. I've got to stay. So when I was given that project to do, I started it all. I thought about the concept. I thought about what I wanted. I know what I've seen when I've been to conferences. And it was just a matter of putting that all together, inviting various university representatives from diversity and inclusion teams or research teams to join in and see how we could make this conference work. And so it was through the conference that I got my lucky break, as so to speak. Professor Marcy Wilson, actually, she was the one that organized, started off as an hourly paid lecturer in the University of East London. And see, that's part of mentoring, that's part of networking. And then I just found myself getting to where I wanted to get. But this all started, I'm going to call him again, the Professor Ed Byrne, whereby he said to me, when I first started, he said to me, Benedict, this is the making of you. And I thought, well, I'm not sure I want to be a professor of equality and diversity. I want to be a professor of science. Didn't quite understand what he was saying, but over the years, I saw exactly what he's saying. And I'm on target to become that professor, hopefully in a not too distant future. So it's persistent. You just can't give up. You can't. It's, and as Mary said, it's part of life. If you really, really want something, you're going to work hard at it. And as I said also previously, your mentor, I don't have one, I don't have two, I've got about five mentors in, you know, different areas that can support me in different ways. So you don't have to give up, no, not at all.
What is some advice you would give to somebody who's trying to decide whether they want to stay in academia or go into industry, you know, kind of like Mary was saying, you know, she's been in science and she wants to explore other aspects. So there's, you know, policy, there's planning, there's communications, publishing. What is some advice you would give to somebody who's kind of on the cusp of deciding what they want to do next after their PhD?
Well, first of all, attend one of my conferences. I'm not sure there's any spaces for the fifth one. We ran out of spaces within 3 weeks, 200 spaces just gone. But in the future, please do. But anyway, just talk to me. And what I will do is I will introduce you to people. So it's all part of networking, networking from various disciplines. Now, I know people in companies. I know people in different research councils. I know people in different places. Get to know them. Have the conversations. Arrange to spend some time. You know, don't have to give you a job. Just give you some experience. So talk to these people. Get the experience and then make your decision. But get yourself a mentor, especially in that area, if that's where you decide you want to go to. I can't underestimate the importance of having a mentor. I really can't.
That's really interesting that you said, like, having a mentor, you don't have to just have one. You can have multiple mentors that you can go to with different topics. I think that that's, people have a misconception that they can only talk to one person and that one person should have everything. But nobody, you're not going to find everything you need in one person. So I think that that's really, really good. I mean, I'm going to take that under consideration, start emailing people today about being a mentor. But what do you think also, both of you, about like the balance that is professional life and also personal life? Because I think that sometimes you can feel like you're not doing enough professionally or personally. And maybe sometimes people have the misconception that one thing has to kind of slip up, or, you know, you have to kind of throw your complete self 100% into both, then it's a balancing act. So Mary, what's some advice you would give about balancing your professional career, whether that be, you know, your PhD, postdoc work, you know, work after your postdoc, your professorship, and your personal life?
So I think for me, my PhD project, I was working stem cells, so I had to feed myself every day, including weekends. So I didn't really have a good lab / personal life balance at all, to be honest. But I think I'm compensating for that now and making sure that the type of job I do get, it's not one. I mean, initially I wanted to go into consulting, and, you know, to answer your first question, I quickly, you know, spoke to a few people that have been consultants. I reached out to some people on LinkedIn and, you know, like Bernadine said, networked. And I quickly saw, and even some YouTube videos, like a day in the life work.
I think I've watched those videos. Yep.
And I saw that, yeah, this is not for me. I like the idea of, you know, working on different projects, but I don't like the idea of having to travel, working with no work-life balance at all. So I think for me, it's just being intentional to know that, okay, you know, this is a time for work and I'm going to have my head down in this period. And I think my friends and family are very aware of that look, this is, you know, crunch time for me. And then, you know, when I have my 2 weeks or whenever I have annual leave here and there, then I completely turn off and I'm, you know, enjoying life. So I think it's just about having setting intentional times for, like, when you know you're going to need a break, have that. Those breaks are important because it kind of fuels you to kind of go hard for your next run of, you know, work. So yeah.
I totally understand. When you said stem cells, I was like, it's me and my T cells. every weekend I'm like, why Saturday, Sunday, my friends going to brunches, going, and I'm like, no, I'm gonna be in the lab, sorry, I'll catch you guys next time. But like you said, it's important to like schedule in those breaks. And it was easier, I think, before the pandemic, where you could, you knew what your capacity was. So like here, you know, we've had to adjust in terms of wet lab access and building access and restrictions. So it's different to navigate life now. But before this, it was like, you know, you could work X number of months and then you're like, right, I'm going to take like a break. I'm going to work X months, take a break. That's part of the break taking and process and that balance. Bernadine, what do you think about the balance?
Yeah, you need to have a work-life balance for your well-being. It's important. But for me, my family keep me grounded. My faith as well. My community, that all plays a role in me having that work-life balance. Yes, I can be as busy as hell, as that you've seen. I've narrated everything I do, some of what I do anyway. But I do keep it real. And as I say, my family helps me to keep things real. And as I say, my faith as well.
So at this point, I know we have about 10 minutes left. I just wanted to double check and see if any members of the audience have any questions that they would like to ask the panelists. Feel free to type them in the chat box, or you can raise your hands and you can ask them yourself. Or, I mean, their contact information is in the webinar description. So Mary, Bernadine, are you free to answer questions by email if people don't feel confident or comfortable asking questions?
Mm-hmm. Email, LinkedIn, whatever. Find me.
Okay, so if you have questions, just put them in the chat or raise your hand. So the kind of last part of this webinar, I wanted to look at like ways to move forward. So I think that I'm one of the co-chairs of the Race Equality Network here on campus, and I think it's really important, I mean, in that capacity, but also in my capacity as a Black woman, to provide opportunities for people further down the line. So always make sure I'm kind of giving back in a way. So checking in with other people, trying to talk to people who look like me and ask them, you know, like, have you considered science? So what are some suggestions you could give both of you to kind of like get more involved with like the wider BME community, besides of course going to your conference? You know, I know things like that, attending lectures, you know, on diversity inclusion, kind of seeking out weight like experiences, volunteering perhaps, but what are some other suggestions you can give to keep, to encourage people to get more involved with inclusion? Mary, you want to go?
I'm not really sure. I think the only thing I can think of is just to have more discussions and action plans. To be honest, I don't really know what the action plan would be. I think it will just, I think those discussions may fuel what could be done, what other ways to improve and in the equality and diversity. But yeah, that's all I have.
I mean, I think discussions are a good start, like you said, with your lab group after the incidents last year, just opening up that space and that conversation to allow people to express maybe their wants and desires for more inclusive spaces and more opportunities around having those discussions in the future. Bernadine?
Yeah, it's no more about what King's is offering. So, like, for example, what you're doing with your team, race equality team, is for them to get involved, ask you more questions, bring some initiatives, and different departments are always doing different things. So it's just being aware of what is being offered at King's, because there's quite a lot. There is quite a lot being offered at King's, but sometimes it can be a bit too much, or people may not be able to find it or navigate wherever the spaces are, discussions are. Just find out what you're offering. And in terms of if you want something external, there's so much going on in so many places.
I think the title of this webinar should have been Persistence, because I think as people of color, as specifically women of color, it seems like that is like our middle name, as you said, Bernadine, like persistence. people, you may not see people who look like you, you may not be interacting with people who look like you, but the more you do, you are probably inspiring people that you maybe don't realize. So just knowing, like even somebody going attending a conference, as you were saying, Bernadine, you know, seeing somebody who looks like you at a conference, that is like one step in the right direction. Seeing somebody whose name you can recognize or see their work and you kind of follow them after, you ask them to be your mentor. That's, these are all stepping stones to get to a place where there are more, there's more racial equality in careers and in academia and science industries. So I think that that is a really good takeaway from this, putting yourself out there and continuing to try and strive for your next position, your next accomplishment, and basically not taking no for an answer. If you think that this is something that you want to do, you're going to find a way to see it done, whatever shape or form that may be. And I think that that is the key motivational aspect, I think, for the people who are going to follow in your footsteps after this. So I think my last question is, where do you see yourself in, I love this question, I think everybody's answers are so different, but where do you see yourself just at least in the next 1 to 2 years, Mary?
I hope that I would have settled into my new role, possibly moving on to another role after 2 years. But yeah, I think that's all for me, really.
Fingers crossed. I mean, of course you're going to get whatever job you want next.
Oh,
I'm just
going to
speak that into the universe. Bernadine?
Applying for my professorship. So at least having the conversation, senior leaders, and seeing what I need to have in order to be ready for my chair. You know, this is something that I've dreamed of. Seeing Professor Fumi Olonishakin become a professor at King's. Initially, she was the only one, but I now know there are at least one or two more. That's given me much hope. So we can get there. Even she may not be a scientist, but she's a woman, she's a black woman, she's a Nigerian like myself. And, you know, yeah, I just need to have that position and then encourage more people to join me. I don't want to be there on my own. Hell no. That's boring. You know, I want to be that role model that encourages and supports and inspires other people to feel, even young girls, very, very young primary school students, let them see me and let them aspire. You know, I wish I had that in my time, but as I said, I had my mother. So, you know, that was more than enough. But it's nice to see people actually in the role to make them believe that actually, if you can do it, I can do it too. Definitely.
Well, thank you both for taking time out of your day to come and talk about this. I think that, I mean, I was really inspired. I took a lot from this. I was like, you know, making mental notes. Okay, you got to go check out that conference. I need to go get at least a couple of mentors. I need to go talk to people in these areas and persevere and, you know, move through people on LinkedIn. I'm going to be emailing people left and right. I think that there's a lot of takeaways from this conversation, and I really appreciate you guys taking the time to talk to me today.
It was wonderful to hear Alexandria's motivation and her actions that she was going to take on the back of speaking with Bernadine and Mary. We hope you have found this episode useful, motivating and inspiring as well. Thank you so much for listening. If you do have any questions or ideas for who you'd like us to interview on an episode of Careers in Your Ears, then please do drop us a note on Twitter. We're at KCL Do One Thing, and that's the numerical one, at KCL Do One Thing.